As many of you will know, during World War I, much of the fighting that took place was in Western Europe. And during the fighting, as the countryside was blasted, it was bombed, and it was fought over repeatedly, the beautiful landscapes that had once existed very quickly turned to muddy, bleak, and barren scenes where little or nothing at all could grow. And yet, it was in one seemingly lifeless patch of grass, known as Flanders Field in Belgium, that bright red resilient poppies did begin to grow. And it was this field that actually inspired the poem Flanders Field that Sam read to us as part of our act of remembrance this morning. And today on Remembrance Sunday, and in the days that will follow, many of us will choose to wear a poppy, one of these little paper and plastic symbols, which has become a very well-known and a well-established symbol. It carries a wealth of history and meaning behind it. And so this morning, as we reflect on the theme of remembrance, and also the Bible readings and the other poems that we've heard read to us, I want to base our reflections around this poignant symbol of remembrance, the poppy. And in particular, I want to think about the different emotions that we might be experiencing today and relate them to each of the three colors of the poppy, the black center, the red petals, and the green leaf. So first of all, let's look at the black center of the poppy, which when I look at it, and especially when we have 2 minutes silence, reminds me of the brokenness of our world. Often at this time of year, I'm reminded of the destruction and the brokenness that war inflicts on all those who are caught in the middle of it. And here in Ely, at the time that the First World War broke out, the local male population was around 4,000, and by mid-1915, around 800 local men had already enlisted and signed up to war voluntarily. With the arrival of conscription in 1916, others soon followed their friends and relatives to go and fight on the front line. And of course, not all of these men returned. There are 224 names on the Ely Marketplace Memorial from World War I, and the majority of these belong to young and married men in their 20s and 30s, who were just embarking on their lives and careers. It makes me wonder what Ely would have been like if these men had survived and come home. What destinies weren't fulfilled because these men never made it back to Ely? And what families died out as a result of these young deaths? One man that's commemorated on the war memorial in town goes by the name of Henry William Sabberton. And when he died at war, his story drew a lot of local attention because he left behind his wife, but also 8 children under the age of 13 to mourn his loss. And very sadly, he hadn't even met his youngest child because they were born after he had gone off to fight at war. So this morning, as I look at the black center of the poppy, I'm struck by the brokenness of the world that we live in. We remember today the great cost that war has to those who are caught in it. We remember the great cost it had to people like Henry who never returned from war. We remember those who had to come home having experienced the horrors of the front line and go on living their lives. And we remember those who had to go on living their lives without a father or without a husband, those who they loved and they missed. And perhaps we should feel disappointment and also regret that this kind of brokenness still goes on and exists in our world today. Last year, the United Nations reported that the number of people fleeing war, persecution, and conflict exceeds 70 million globally. And this averages out to around 37,000 people who are displaced every single day. And if I'm honest, as I go about life here in Ely, often I'm unaware of how broken the world is. Often I can go about my daily life and not really think about the parts of the world where these things are taking place. But just occasionally, there are stories that shock me and shake me, like the recent discovery of 39 bodies in a refrigerated lorry in Essex. It stirs me into remembering that our world is desperately broken and it needs healing. But if we're really honest with ourselves this morning, we don't have to look very far at all to know that the world is broken. If we're really honest with ourselves, we are also broken. We are all in need of some form of healing. each of us faces suffering and each of us faces struggles, maybe in different degrees, but none of us are immune to suffering and struggles. Some of us right now may be battling for our lives. Some of us may be suffering heartbreak. Some of us may be facing broken marriages, crushed dreams, deep regret, or battling deep darkness inside. Some of us suffer chronically, and some of us form scabs over our wounds, but forever carry those deep battle scars with us. If you scratch just below the surface in any conversation with anyone you meet, you'll soon find that everybody is facing a struggle. Everybody suffers in some way. And Jesus was very honest about this. In our gospel reading this morning, he warned the disciples to remain in his love, because as he goes on to say in verse 18 that follows this morning's reading, the world will probably hate them. They will probably suffer. And so as I look at the black center of the poppy this morning, I'm reminded of the brokenness of the world and also the brokenness of ourselves. We and this world need desperate healing. But then I look out from the black center of the poppy and I look at the bright, rare, delicate leaves and petals that make up the poppy's outside. And I can't help but feel admiration for those who have sacrificed themselves at war, literally shedding their own red blood in order to try and make a better world for each of us. Henry Sabaton, who I mentioned earlier, was a clear example of this. The local newspaper reported the reason that he gave for joining the forces, and it was this: he would not wait until he was fetched, and he deemed it his duty as a man to help his king and also his country. Today, many people in the armed forces still give of themselves in this same way, to try and make the broken world that we live in a better place, in the same vein as Henry Sabaton. And last year, after I was ordained as a deacon, I was very excited to take my first baptism in the parish. So I went off to meet a young family who had a son who was just a few months older than our own son, James. And because we were facing sleepless nights, because we'd also decided to get a dog at the same time as this family, we really hit it off, and I had a great time talking and drinking tea with them and eating cake, all the things that I imagined I would do during curacy. We talked about the baptism service, and it was a really positive meeting. But then we got to the end of the meeting, and we decided to try and set an actual date for when the baptism could take place. And in that moment, suddenly it became apparent that the baptism needed to take place really soon, because the dad in this family was a pilot in the Air Force, and in just 3 weeks' time, he was about to go off on exercise for 6 months, and he wouldn't be at home for that whole time. And he wanted to be there for the baptism of his son before he went away. And so it was around December time last year, I gathered in Little Downham in St. Leonard's with these parents and their family who traveled from all around the country to meet together on a random time on a Sunday afternoon, because it was the only time we could get everybody together before the dad went off to exercise. And it was a joyful occasion. I watched the father look on at his son with great joy and with great proudness as well as he saw him be baptized. But at the same time, I couldn't help feel inside me the pain that he was going to face, as in just a few weeks' time, even before Christmas had come, he would be off to the other side of the world, leaving behind his newly born son and also his wife for 6 months. It was a great amount of sacrifice that he gave for others like me and you to ensure that our safety is maintained and to strive for peace around the world. In many ways, Henry Sabaton and this dad, they actually live out and they embody, I think, what Jesus told us to do in our gospel passage this morning, to lay down our lives for our friends. And Jesus says that this is the greatest form of love that we can show. And of course, this is a very tough thing to do. It's very tough to give up your life for somebody else. And I think the only reason that Jesus can ultimately do this is because we know that he went on to lay down his life for his own friends and ultimately for the whole world, to redeem the brokenness of the world and each human life, and to make all things new. So as I look at the center of the poppy, as I look at the blackness of the middle of the poppy, I feel both sadness and regret at the brokenness of our world. But as I look outwards at the red petals, I also feel great gratitude for those who have stepped out into the brokenness of our world and tried to make a difference, tried to make it a better place, giving of themselves freely to do this. And ultimately, I find the deepest gratitude for Jesus, who has stepped out into our broken world and given his life in order that this world and we as individuals might experience his healing. So finally then, as I look out from the red petals to the green leaf on the outside of the poppy, I also experience hope. Hope that we can build a better and a more peaceful world. Hope that Jesus will bring full and complete healing to this world and to our lives as well. Green to me is the color of hope. It's the color of life. It's the color of the first shoots that emerge when the shoots begin to come out of the ground in the spring. And it's the color of the freshly plucked olive leaf that a dove brought to Noah to symbolize that the flood was over, that safety had arrived. When news of Henry Sabaton's death reached Ely in 1915, it was published in the local newspaper, and a local lady living at 10 Mile Bank, who didn't actually know his wife, Ada, decided that she would write a letter of condolence to her. And I just want to read out that letter to us now. This is what she said. "I feel it is my duty to write a line and to express my sorrow in your sad bereavement at the loss of your husband. It is a terrible loss to you and your little ones, but the great God above will supply all your needs. I hope it will be a lesson to young single men who knew Mr. Sabaton that he was no slacker, but died like a true Briton can die fighting for what is right. What a dreadful calamity this war is, and may peace once more be declared. You and your family have my sincere sympathy. Don't be too downhearted, but look on the bright side. The Lord will help you with his outstretched hand. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble." Henry Sabaton's family, they suffered great loss, but this lady who wrote this letter believed that there was still hope for them because the Lord would provide for Ada, his wife, and her 8 children with an outstretched arm. And today, as we remember the conflicts of the past and the present, we might feel compelled to despair. But Jesus calls us not to this, but to look forward with hope. For he is at work amongst us, bringing healing and also bringing transformation. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love," he says in verse 9. This love has the power to transform and to change lives, communities, countries, even the whole world, if we dare to believe it. And although sometimes it may be hard to trust that Jesus is really at work, especially in light of the awful brokenness that we see all around us at times, God tells us in Revelation 21 that one day he will return to dwell among his people. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. He will wipe away all tears. There will be no more death. There will be no mourning, no crying. There will be no more pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. The brokenness we remember and we experience today will no longer exist. At the moment, we live in this in-between time. We see the black center of the poppy, and we know that both ourselves and the world that we live in needs desperate healing. Many of us will look at the red petals of the poppy and will believe and confess that it is Jesus who has begun this work of healing in our lives, and maybe even in our families and our communities. But we can still look at the green leaf of the poppy and look outwards and look forward with hope to the time when Jesus will return and bring full healing to the world. So until that moment comes, Jesus calls us to be his hands and his feet, to shine his light into the darkness and the brokenness of the world, to tell of his healing power and the hope that only he can bring. And today on Remembrance Sunday, we look back and we give thanks to all those who have gone before us and sought to build a better world. But we especially give thanks for Jesus and for the hopeful promise that one day he will come back and he will bring complete healing to our lives and to the world. Amen. As we continue to reflect this morning,